Now Rebecca Merrill, co-author of First Things First, will encourage you to examine the way you spend your time now to determine if you're doing what's merely urgent or what's really important in your life.
Think about one thing that you could do in your personal life that would make an incredible difference in your effectiveness. Just one thing that you could do. What quadrant would that one thing come in? It's been our experience in talking with many, many people that those answers are almost without fail in quadrant two. There are things that are important. If we would do them, we know they would make a tremendous difference in the quality of our lives. But we don't do them because they aren't urgent. They don't press on us. We have to be proactive. We have to act on these things to make them happen in our lives. And generally, these things come in about seven categories. One is improving communication with people. Two is better preparation. Three is better planning and organizing. Four is taking better care of ourselves. Five is seizing new opportunities. Six is personal development. And seven is empowerment. Now, we know these things are important, but because they're not urgent and they don't act on us, we don't do them. Think about the last week in your life. Where did you spend most of your time? And how much time did you actually spend in quadrant two? A lady that I greatly respect was an elementary school principal. She would go in the morning, an hour before everyone else got there. She would do her administrative work during that hour before and the hour after everyone else left. And during school hours, she was with people. She was with the teacher. She was in the classroom. She was talking with students. She shared an experience of handling a disciplinary problem with two students on the playground. Someone got into a fight and the little boy in question came into the principal's office. She took 20 minutes to talk to this young man, to listen to him and to work through the problem. Now, there were many people that said to her, "You don't have time to spend 20 minutes with one elementary school student." And her response was, "This is what my job is about." And in all the years that she was an elementary school principal, she said that she had one student have to come to the office twice. As a mother, I have found that quadrant two investment in May makes a great deal of difference in the entire summer. Taking the time to prepare ahead, to involve the children in the goals that they want to accomplish, to plan carefully so that their days are productive and exciting and full of fun, makes a tremendous difference in the quality of our lives. Is it bad to be in quadrant one? The answer is no. A lot of our lives will be spent there. We have to respond to things that are urgent and important. We choose to respond to them. The problem comes when we allow urgency to be the dominant factor and then we slip into quadrant three, where things are not important, but just urgent. We will have quadrant one items in our lives, and we will hopefully choose to spend a good deal of time in quadrant two. But as we gain more and more of a quadrant two lifestyle, we hopefully eliminate altogether, if possible, quadrants three and four. Those quadrants are not important by virtue of definition. One is urgent, one is not, but neither one is important. Well, where can I find time to do these quadrant two things? Sure, I know it's important in my life to spend time and to write a personal mission statement. I know it's important to spend time planning and preparing for the meetings that I have this week. I know it's important to spend time with my children building relationships, but I am so busy, I'm so crunched, where do I find time to do it? And the answer is quadrant three. That's where so much of the time goes that we don't really recognize. It deceives us. We think we're doing something important, but after it's done, we have that sense of emptiness, and the urgency made it seem important. What if I'm in a quadrant one environment? Some doctors, nurses, firefighters, news reporters virtually live in quadrant one in terms of their profession. I think for people who are in a quadrant one environment, it's very important for them to spend some time in quadrant two because it will increase their capacity to handle quadrant one well. One of the problems with urgency, as we've talked about before, is that it can actually become addictive. We get so used to the high, the temporary urgency fix of handling something that is both important and urgent, that when the importance is gone, it's easy to slip into quadrant three and to start doing things that are urgent or seem to be urgent, but they really aren't important. Urgency makes them seem important, makes them feel important, but when we stop and really look at them, they aren't. We've created an urgency index, which gives us an idea of how addicted we are to urgency, if at all. If you can just respond to this in your own mind as to whether this is something that you never do, or something you sometimes do, or something you always do. I seem to do my best work when I'm under pressure. I'm often frustrated by the slowness of people and things around me. I hate to wait or stand in line. I feel guilty when I take time off work. I always seem to be rushing between places and events. I'm at my best when I'm handling a crisis situation. I assume people will naturally understand if I have to disappoint them or let things go in order to handle a crisis. I often eat lunch or other meals while I work. A huge stack in my out basket at the end of the day makes me feel like I've really been productive. If you find yourself on the always side more often than not, perhaps urgency addiction is a problem.